Thank you for the good prayer, Brother Collins. And we usually have a special, but the one who was scheduled to do the special is not here this morning. So I hope she's not ill. And is she sick? All right. Well, let's remember her in prayer. Again, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's good to see this many who have come to be with us. We're trying to maintain our services. We do have midweek Bible study. Our youth groups meet at 5:30, and then our adult Bible study begins at 6:30. And we're also trying to maintain Sunday school. And every time we get a new scare, you know, a few more people drop out. But hopefully we'll soon have the COVID under control and all of us can be back together. I do desire an interest in your prayers as I stand before you this morning. I feel very much the need of the help of the Lord. And if you have your Bible and you'd care to join me as I read a portion of Scripture, I want to read from the first chapter of the book of Mark, the gospel as recorded by Mark. I will read the first 8 verses. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Now that's my lesson for today, and I pray that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to use as my subject title for today, preparing for the coming Savior, or the preparations that were made. That were necessarily made before the Lord Jesus was born into this world. So I want you to pray for me. This is a wonderful lesson that I have read in your hearing. The thoughts that I have today are wonderful thoughts. Not because they're my thoughts, but because they are the Word of God. And so we want you to pray for us that God will help us this morning. I thought about this as I was studying. Of all the people that live in the world, I think that I would perhaps like to sit down and have a talk with John the Baptist, you know, maybe above all others. And you might ask, well, why would you want to sit and talk with him? There are far more important people in the world than John was. Well, not according to the words of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said that of men that are born of woman, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. He was the one who had the signal privilege of introducing Jesus as being the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And John, he was a miracle baby. His mother and his father were Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were well stricken in years. They were old people, kind of like me. And Elizabeth was past the time. No, she was the one that had been barren all of her lifetime. She could not have children. But God, in order to bring the forerunner of the Lord Jesus in the world, he opened her womb and enabled her to conceive, and she brought forth a son. They called him John. I could go into a lot of detail about Zacharias and Elizabeth, but I won't take the time to do it. But this child was born into the world. And according to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, we read all about that. Zacharias was a priest, and he was in the temple, and he was carrying out his duties in the temple, and at the same time he was praying. And the Lord said, I have heard your prayer. And he said, Elizabeth is going to conceive and bring forth a son, and he shall be great, the Bible said. So John was a miracle child indeed. And we know that John was about 6 months older than Jesus was, because at the time when Mary was carrying the Lord Jesus, she went to visit Elizabeth, who was her cousin. And she went to see her. And the Bible said it was about 6 months with her at the time. So that made John about 6 months older than Jesus. And at the time when John came out of the wilderness preaching, he would have been around 30 years old, because he could not have held a public office before he was 30 years old. That was the Jewish law. And so I don't know really what transpired between the time that he was born and the time that he began preaching, but he certainly was brought up in the ways of the Lord, and he certainly had a call from God upon his life. If there was ever a man that had a call upon his life from Almighty God, it was John the Baptist. The Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was sent from God. And so he had that divine call. And John came out of the wilderness at the appropriate time. You know, the Bible says that it was in the fullness of time that Jesus was born. Now, the promise had been made that the seed of the woman would come, and he would bruise the head of the serpent. But thousands of years passed, and from time to time there was a reminder in the Old Testament about that promise. Just to pick a couple of them out of the air, or better, out of the Bible. You know, Moses, he said that the Lord God would raise up a man like unto him. And he said, the people would hear him in whatsoever he said. And it would come to pass that whosoever would not hear him would be destroyed. So that was a reminder, you know, of the promise that a Savior was going to come. We read in the book of Isaiah where the Bible says this, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." And it said, "And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And these were just reminders of the promise that God had made. And God fulfilled that promise when the time was exactly right. God is in charge, and he always knows what to do and when to do it. Now, you and I sometimes, we may do the right thing, but our timing may be wrong. We may do it at the wrong time. But God has never done anything at the wrong time. He is always right on time. This comes to my mind. It's not a part of this subject. But it come to my mind about the time when Lazarus died. You know. And Mary and Martha, his sisters, they said to Jesus, "If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died," you know. And Jesus said, "Your brother's going to rise again." And Jesus, he is always on time. Now, Lazarus did die, but Jesus walked up to his tomb and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out of the grave, you know. And so the Lord is always on time. But I wanted to get back to this and share some things with you. This lesson that I read in your hearing, it said, "As it is written in the prophets." Now, God inspired the prophets to write concerning of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've already mentioned some of them spoke. And it said, this is what he said, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way," or "thy way before thee." Now we read in the book of Malachi, and I want to just turn over there just for a moment and notice this passage of scripture in the third chapter. And this is one of the prophets that spoke. And he said, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Now, I'm trying to talk today about the preparations that were necessarily made before Jesus would be born. And so he said, "I'll send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, I want to enlarge upon that just for a moment, if I can. But he said, "I'll send my messenger." Now, that's having reference to John the Baptist. He was the messenger that was sent from God. And he had a voice and he had a message. The Bible said the voice of one crying in the wilderness and the message that he had. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 3, "In those days came John the Baptist from the wilderness of Judea preaching, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So God sent, you know, information to the people through the mouth of John the Baptist that the time was at hand when the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, He was not known as Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, but he was referred to as the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one whom God had chosen to come and to sacrifice his life for our sins. And so he said, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek. You see, they had been looking for the Lord Jesus to come all of these years, or for the Messiah to come. They had been reminded, as I said, that he's going to come, but there was not a date set for him to come. And so he said, John will prepare the way, and suddenly he will come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. And that's, of course, having reference to Jesus. And he is the messenger of the new covenant. You know, we read in the Bible about the old covenant, the covenant of the law. And Moses was the mediator of that covenant. But there's another covenant that's referred to as the new covenant. And that's the covenant that the Lord Jesus made to come into this world and to sacrifice his life. And so that's the new covenant. And Jesus is the messenger of that new covenant. Now I could turn to the book of Ezekiel and I could read the words of that covenant. But it says something to this effect. I will make a new covenant in those days. Maybe I need to turn to the book of Ezekiel and read it. It seems like I can't quote it. I think it's maybe... let me find Ezekiel and then we'll go with it. This is it. He said, a new heart also will I give thee. I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, we read of the new covenant in the book of Hebrews also. And it says that under the new covenant, he said, people will not need to say to each other, you know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. And he said that they would walk in his statutes and would be blessed. Now, I'm going to get back over here to this. Because it is really important. He said, I'll send my messenger before my face. The messenger... he said, will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the new covenant, whom ye delight in. That's what I was trying to talk about. They were looking forward to it. They were praying for it. They were expecting God to fulfill his promise. And they delighted in that covenant, that new covenant, where God would give them a new heart and a new spirit, and he would be in them, and he would lead them and guide them and direct them in the things that they did. And he said, and he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And so John was that messenger that came to introduce of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that he prepared the way for the Lord Jesus. He came and he was a voice in the wilderness. I want to go to the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah just for a moment. And I hope you're able to keep up with me this morning and that I'm not being too scattered. This is what the Bible said in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. He said, "Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity pardoned, and she received of the Lord's hand double for her sins." He said, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." He said, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it altogether. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Now, historians say that back in Bible days, there were no paved roads. You know, they were dirt roads. I guess perhaps the first paved road was the Appian Way in Rome. It was paved, but most of the roads were just dirt roads, and they were not the maintenance on the roads was not that good. And before a king would start on a journey, they would send a group of men to prepare the way, to repair the roads, you know, and to make them level, and to clear them out so that the king could make his way out to where he was going. And the Lord Jesus, you see, he's not just any old king. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he was going to come to this world, you see. And so John was sent, you know, as this voice in the wilderness to make straight in the desert a highway for God. Now this identifies the Messiah as being God. And I know a lot of people today, you know, they don't believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you that Jesus is Lord and he is God. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And there is nothing impossible with God. Because he is the supreme ruler of the universe. He spoke it into existence. He has sustained it. And he's still sustaining it. And the Bible says that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we all move and have our being here in this world. The very life that we have and the breath that we breathe is a gift from God to every one of us. And so he said that he's God. That makes straight in the desert a highway for God. He said every valley shall be exalted and every hill be let down. And that reminds me, you know, we drive up the interstate, you know, and they have done that to make a smooth and a level highway for us, you know. They've cut the mountains down. And you don't have to go up like this, you know, and then down on the other side. You just go straight through, you know. And God saw to it that every obstacle, you know, to the coming of the Lord Jesus the first time would be removed. And so he said that the voice, now let me back up, verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed to all flesh. And all flesh shall see it all together. Not at the same time, but all flesh will have the opportunity during their lifetime of seeing the effects of God's provision. You know, God makes it possible to all generations. It is from generation to generation. The gospel has been preached, and every generation has had the privilege of hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, the voice of said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Now, I want you to get this message. All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. Now, that's not literally speaking, but it says this, that all flesh is comparable to grass. Even Job spoke about man that's born a woman is few days and full of sorrow. He cometh forth as a flower and is cut down. You know, there is an allotted time for your life on this earth. There's an allotted time for my life. I don't know what it is, but God does. One of these days, I'll draw my last breath. And you can say, well, old Brother Moran was here for a while, but he's gone now. And that's exactly what this is saying, you know. All flesh is as grass. It flourishes for a little while, and then it's gone. He said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely people is as grass. Now listen, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. Do you know that this word that I'm preaching this morning, it is just as dependable and just as reliable as it was the day that Jesus Christ was born? It certainly is. And you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Malachi, and I didn't get to that, but I want to go back to it just for a moment. In this third chapter over here, I think I'm right about this. I'm in the book of Jonah. You won't find what Malachi said in the book of Jonah, will you? Okay. You all just bear with me just for a moment. And this is what he said. This messenger that was going to suddenly come to his temple, the Lord Jesus, it says, who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So the Lord Jesus, he is as a refiner. You know what a refiner's fire, they would put gold in the fire and that would purify it, you know. And so the Lord Jesus, he has come as a purifier. And he can, you know, he can remove the sin that's in your life. Did you know that? He can forgive your sins, you know. And he can purify you and make you pure and holy in the eyes of God. You know, God looks at the heart. He doesn't look, you know, upon the outward appearance, but he looks on the heart. And he can see the heart. And he can, you know, if a person will come to him in repentance and faith, he will forgive their sins and he will remove them from them. And they won't be accountable for their sins because they have been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to just move on just a little bit, and I'll be done in a few minutes of time. But, you know, the forerunner was to prepare a way for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there was a time when Israel, the nation of Israel, was known as the people of God. And all other nations of the earth were known as heathens, you know. But you know, the Bible says that there is no difference with the Lord Jesus. He is no respecter of persons. There is no difference between the Jew or the Greek. Jesus is the same Lord over all, and he is rich unto all that comes unto him. So you can see how that John the Baptist, by coming and preaching repentance, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and you need to repent of your sins. And you can see how that he made the playing field level. You know, the Gentiles and have the same access to God that the Jews had. Everybody becomes a child of God in just one way, and that is by repentance of their sins and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no difference, you know. That's what the Bible says. The same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. That's in Romans chapter 10. And so, anyway, this forerunner, he was not physically, you know, constructing highways, but he was from a spiritual standpoint. You know, when Jesus came, there had been many people who had heard John the Baptist preach, and they had repented of their sins and believed on the Lord Jesus, and they were prepared and ready to be used of the Lord when he came. And Jesus, he was going to establish a church, and they were prepared and ready. They were already saved by God's grace, and they already had been baptized. Now John, he baptized those who repented. He was very careful about that. Just being baptized in water won't save you. You know, being baptized in water is a testimony that you have already been saved. And so, this is what happened. John came out of the wilderness. He preached, you know, and multitudes came out to hear him. And some of the Pharisees, they came out, and the Sadducees, they were going to be baptized. And Jesus said, "O generation of vipers," or John rather, John said, "O generation of vipers." That translates into evil generation. They were evil generation. He said, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now, if salvation had been by baptism, and if baptism would change the heart of an individual, John would have baptized every one of them. He'd have made saints out of that evil generation just as sure as I'm standing here. But baptism does not regenerate the soul. It does not regenerate the soul. And that's what has to take place. And so, John was preparing people spiritually for the Lord to use in his service when he came. Now, you know, the Bible talks about John, and it also talks about Elijah. And Jesus said in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, the same place where he said that man that is born of men that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John. In that same passage of Scripture, Jesus said, and you know, talking about from the last four verses in Malachi, that before the end, you know, that Elijah would come again. You know, Elijah lived and was a prophet, and he died. And a lot of people today still misinterpret that. Elijah's not coming back. You know what? Jesus said that John was Elijah, if you will receive it. And what it means is John was like unto Elijah. John done the same thing that Elijah was trying to do. Elijah, the nation of Israel, they were worshiping Baal. And some of them, you know, they didn't know whether they ought to worship God or whether they ought to worship Baal. And so Elijah, he was trying to turn that nation to God. And he went up on Mount Carmel, and he had a challenged the prophets of Baal to a prayer meeting. And whoever answers by fire, if God answers by fire, we'll consider him to be God. But if Jehovah answers by fire, we'll consider him to be God. Whichever answers by fire. They said, that sounds reasonable to me. And he built the altar and he prayed. And he said, O Lord, that this people may know that thou art God and that I'm doing these things according to your word. You know, here, and the Bible says the fire fell from heaven and it consumed the offering. And the people were convinced that Jehovah God is Lord. Now, that's what Elijah was doing. Well, when John the Baptist was preaching the gospel, he was doing, in effect, the same thing that John was doing. He was turning the hearts of men to the Lord. And that was a part of the preparation that was being made for the Lord Jesus to come into the world. John said this to that generation of vipers, that evil generation that wanted to be baptized. He said, you bring forth fruits, meat for repentance. Give some evidence that your heart's been changed. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Give some evidence, fruits that are worthy of repentance or suitable for a person that is repented of their sins. And then I will baptize you, he said. And he went on and he said this. He said, and now the axe is laid at the root of every tree. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You see, so the importance of John the Baptist coming and coming with a message and with a voice and with by proclaiming, you know, the word of the Lord and by turning people to God from sin and turning them to God, it was preparing the way of the Lord. And when Jesus came, he went to John the Baptist to be baptized. And, of course, In our day, baptism is a church ordinance. You know, if you're going to have scriptural baptism, it has to be by the authority of the church. But you see, the church wasn't in existence. John had a special commission from God to baptize those who had repented. And so he did baptize them. And when Jesus came, he was baptized. And then he took those disciples that John had prepared for him through the preaching of the word, through repentance and faith, and he started the Lord's church. And it's been in the world ever since. But all of that was, you know, that was prerequisite to Jesus being born into the world. I hope I haven't confused you today. I hope that it's been plain what I've tried to present to you. Jesus, you know, we're going to celebrate his birth soon. But the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist, he came before his face. Those people saw John the Baptist before they saw the Lord Jesus. And he presented the gospel to them. I pray that God will bless the message today. It seems I've been pretty scattered, but all of this ties together, and it was God's way of preparing the people for the coming of the Lord Jesus, so they would believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And so I just pray that God will bless the message. I know if you're here and you're lost, I know God loves you. I know that. I know that Jesus came and gave his life for you personally. You personally. And salvation is a personal thing. Nobody can do it for you. Only you can come to God in your own behalf. Repent of your sins. Ask him to forgive you and to save you. And put your trust in Jesus. Nobody can do any of that for you. It has to be you that does it. But I promise you on the authority of God's word that whosoever believeth in him will receive the remission of their sins. And they will have eternal life. And they'll be prepared for heaven when this life is over. So I hope today, if you're not saved, that you'll come to Jesus and find him precious to your soul. I'm going to close. Anyone have anything you want to say? Any testimony?